I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. And as always, there is a lot to talk about. So I ask a question to start our program today, our afternoon together, our good time. We're going to spend this time to contemplate, to think, to try and grow and figure out where we are personally and where our country is and what's going on. We all know big changes are now coming, right? Big changes are now coming. We're changing administrations. We're changing philosophies. We're going to change tax policy. We're going to change regulations. We're going to change what it means to be an American. We are changing how the rest of the world is going to view us. We are changing how we view ourselves. And I'm wondering, what is in our future? What will all this change bring? Let me say, for the record, that I certainly hope America thrives and that the economy grows and that everyone who wants to work and needs to work can find meaningful employment, not just whatever employment is out there. You know, for, seven part-time jobs. I hope there's meaningful employment for every American that needs it and wants it. Because there's nothing more important for someone than to be able to take care of themselves or to take care of their family. We often think past this because of the reality that it just seems so common sense, you know? It seems so basic that people would want to take care of themselves and take care of their families. And we look and we see with all the socialist type of thought that's now coming into the fore in America, and it is, we can't deny that that's actually happening. People are now seeing socialism as a legitimate platform for American politics, as a legitimate way for us to run our country. And then there's other people that don't see that, that don't get it. And I have to count myself among them. I don't understand how turning the reins of what's important over to government is really going to help us. Historically, it has not helped anyone that it's been involved with it. But we are looking at all this change coming our way. And I'm certainly hoping that Joe Biden is the moderate that they claim he is. But again, there's part two of that sentence. You could say Joe Biden is a moderate, and his politics, his whole life has really been, you know, finger to the wind to see which way the wind is blowing, and he kind of goes that way. He's made a lot of big mistakes on big calls when it comes to foreign policy across the years. I mean, you can go document. He's been on the wrong side of almost every issue. How he is seen around the world? Well, here in America, we see Joe Biden as, this kindly old man at this point in his career. But I think some of the enemy countries of the world out there probably see him as an easy mark, someone who is probably weakened in the fact that he does have these deals and his family does have deals with China and with Russia and with other governments that's been documented out there. You know, we worried so much about that with President Trump that he's a businessman. And therefore, he probably has hotels and he has business interests around the world. And therefore, he's compromised because, you know, all this. And none of that was true. Joe Biden, on the other hand, he's a politician. We don't see it that way. The reality is he has a whole business going on behind the scenes. His family has business around the world that the only reason it would seem that they would get this business is because you're politically connected. Look at the Clinton Foundation. It received hundreds of millions of dollars from individuals and governments around the world, ostensibly because they all wanted to do good, and the Clinton Foundation was going to do good. But the minute Hillary was out, and she wasn't going to be president, the donations dried up. Now, why would that be? Well, there's only one of two reasons. The foundation was a front to give money to buy influence with Hillary Clinton if she became president, or it was there to do good. Well, if it was there to do good, how come overnight, basically, everyone would stop donating to it, right? So we can't look at fact. We can't look at smoke and say there is no fire, we have to investigate. Maybe there is no fire. Maybe the Clinton Foundation is the greatest foundation that has ever been created to help people around the world. Let's take a good close look at that. You know, right now, there's a scrutiny of Donald Trump's businesses in every possible place that somebody can look at his businesses now. And that's obviously because they're worried about, you know, they're trying to go after him in any way they possibly can. So Joe Biden is told, we're told, he is a moderate who's going to do moderate things. He's not going to hurt our country. He's going to bring respect back. The rest of the world is going to respect us. Does anybody think that that's what people really think about Joe Biden? Or maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe a deal maker like Trump that demands everyone be accountable in the deal, they don't like that. But maybe a deal maker like Biden who lets people not be so accountable, maybe that's what the world wants, and therefore they like you so much better. I don't know, but these are some of the things we're going to have to look at going forward. Whether we actually look at them or not is a whole nother story. I know right off the bat, I'm watching a famous Sunday night TV show that's on, and they're talking about they're gonna do an in-depth look at the incoming president and his family and how wonderful they are. And, you know, did the Trump administration, did Trump and his family get that kind of a treatment? No. And I could waste my breath here. We all know there's not only a double standard, but the media is pretty much gone. You can't count on the media to tell the truth. Every story is biased. Every story has an agenda. You know, very, very few real investigative reporters anymore because it's dangerous. It's dangerous to be an investigative reporter. If you investigate the wrong thing, you will be canceled because that's the culture that we are in. We're in cancel culture. And right now, the left, the socialists among us, are in power. And they do not want anyone looking into anything that would damage their power. I think that's just a reality. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I think it's a truth. So any news reporter that wanted to go out and actually report on, say, I don't know, Hunter Biden and his laptop and what's in there, and any allegations about the Biden family, anybody who would do that would be considered a hater or someone who's trying to sabotage what's going on, and therefore they would be fired, ruined, destroyed. Does anybody doubt that? No? I think it's absolutely clear to me. That's why we have no stories. You know, we're hearing now that we're seeing a lot of politicians talk about the attack on the Capitol, which was a horrific situation. Absolutely horrible. Those people should not have gone in there. A police officer lost his life. That's a brother police officer to me, lost his life because of that mob. Whoever did that should be held accountable. They should be found, they should be arrested, tried, and have to answer for the murder of that officer. I think that's pretty clear. But beyond that, you know, I wrote an article that was up, it's still up on the AmericaOutloud.com platform called, in a word, revolution. Now, it's funny because I've had a lot of contact from people who read the article, who some initially, just by the title, thought I would be calling for revolution. That I would say, now is the time for us to have a revolution. And reality, that's not the purpose of the article. The purpose of the article is that we have to look at all of the different feelings going on in our country. There are people, half of our country feels that something was wrong with the election. Now, there may or may not have been something wrong with the election. We know we've seen lots of different anecdotal evidence. We've seen lots of people who have signed affidavits, who were whistleblowers. Remember how important whistleblowers were when we thought there was a bad phone call for President Trump? One whistleblower was enough to impeach and throw the man out of office. But here we have dozens and dozens of American citizens who have signed affidavits under penalty of prison time if they lie, saying that they saw abnormalities and problems. There's enough evidence on its face for us to say, maybe not enough widespread fraud went on to change what happened, but we don't know because we never looked. So all of a sudden, because now Trump has decided to leave, he's going to leave the White House. He's going to, you know, he's done with the presidency now. Because Joe Biden is the president-elect, it's been certified, there's no more court cases, that it's all over now, and he will be the next president. Because of that, suddenly, all of that evidence is treated as though none of it was real. See, it was all faked up, everything was faked up, and that's why Trump caused the riot, because he kept saying that there was fraud, and it wasn't real, and because of that, he's responsible for the riots. Well, I would say, if there was an honest investigation, a real investigation, and all of the allegations, all of the sworn statements from people, all of the anecdotal evidence, if a real investigation was done and proved that absolutely no fraud took place whatsoever, an investigation that all of us could believe in, right? So that would be a bipartisan investigation with real people, right? So on the Republican side, you couldn't have a Mitt Romney be part of the commission because nobody on the Republican Party trusts Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is a rhino who's really a Democrat pretending to be a Republican, right? And he's a weak Republican. I liked him when he ran for president. I thought he would be better than Barack Obama, but he has proved himself to be very weak. You know, you need somebody like a Jim Jordan, right? A Getz from Florida. These are people that stand for conservative points of view that would not whitewash things over. They're not rhinos. So to a conservative, that's very important. And on the left, they would want to have someone who's true to their ideology, I would think. Someone who sees things not based just on the ideology, but someone who is crystal clear on what their concerns are and have a real commission to look at this. Now, it's not going to change what happens now. We're all in this for the next 4 years, however it's going to go. But this is the kind of thing that our country would need for us to say, you know what, there was a lot of evidence that looked like things were wrong. Boxes of votes, you know, hundreds of thousands of votes coming in the middle of the night, only marked for Joe Biden and nobody on the down line. That looked really suspicious, but it turns out it's not. You know why? Because we did a real investigation. There was a gentleman on, the guy, I wish I could remember his name, ladies and gentlemen, I really do. But he was the gentleman that had the computer and hacked into the voting machine. You know, the unhackable voting machine that's not online, that doesn't have Wi-Fi. This guy managed to hack into it and was right in there. And that wasn't supposed to happen. Well, he was also talking about there's ways that you can look at those votes and you can determine if they're legitimate votes, if they were ever mailed, if they were ever properly accounted for, if they were genuine votes, or if they were frauded up votes, right? But we'll never know because we never did that. No one has given that short shrift. So when people are standing up and screaming that, well, the evidence, it's all done, it's all over, there was no fraud, no, we don't know that. All we know is that we're now going to move past that because the people that are concerned about it, the Republicans and the Trump administration, they're out. And the people who don't want to look at it are our liberals and the Biden administration. They don't want to go back and find out the truth about that. Could you imagine if Joe Biden called for this commission, a real serious bipartisan commission, and they went back and found and proved that there was enough fraud that it could have changed the election outcome? Do you think Joe Biden would say, we know based on this now, I think I need to step down and we need to do something drastic in our country, maybe have another election because it's proved that fraud got me elected? Does anybody expect he would actually do that, even if we had evidence of that? I mean, I don't expect that. I wouldn't expect that. You know, that's asking way too much. But isn't that the right thing to do if that was really the truth? See, but the bottom line is we'll never know. So when I see all of these people jumping up and down screaming about the Capitol and the attack on the Capitol, which was horrifying and wrong, and whoever went in there is going to be prosecuted and they should. I know you're not allowed to go in the Capitol building like that. You don't get to push in past the police when the police are telling you to stop. You don't get to do that. That's inappropriate. That's illegal. And there's consequences for your action. But my article, see how I'm trying to weave all these things together for us here? I'm trying to, you know, bring all these things together. My article, In a Word Revolution, on the AmericaOutloud.com platform, was not about calling for a revolution. It was calling for an understanding of why revolution can happen. It was not justifying what happened at the Capitol. I can never justify it, and I never would. I think those people were wrong to do what they did. Marching up to the Capitol, peacefully protesting, letting their voices be heard, like the president called for, is absolutely appropriate. We have people every day calling for, you know, no justice, no peace, march in the streets, let your voice be heard. And I agree with that too. Anyone who's aggrieved, that's one of our constitutional rights. We can gather to redress our grievances. Free speech, right? So I think those people should have went up to the Capitol and they should have stated their concerns. But I think it would have been best if somebody had listened. You know, none of the courts wanted to get involved in it. Nobody wanted to look at the evidence. So therefore, we just sweep it under the rug and say, it never happened. You're all wrong. There is no evidence. And anyone who says that there is evidence, is trying to start trouble, and you're seditious. So do you realize the damage that causes? When you start throwing around these words like seditious and treasonous in the face of things that were not seditious or treasonous, okay? Now, I'm not talking about the mob that went into the Capitol. Be crystal clear on that. They and I don't even know what they did was sedition. What they did was breaking, entry, riot, threatening. They did all those kind of things. Even if they had gotten their hands on all of those Congress people, would that have overturned the government? If they had gone in there and done horrible things, would that have changed the government? It would not have changed the government, right? So I don't think that those are the appropriate charges. Okay, they're not plotting a bigger thing. It was a mob attack on a building where our politicians happened to be. Horrible. And those people have to be held to account for the choices that they made. But the reality is, when you start throwing around words like sedition and treason in the face of that, as though suddenly you see this, but when you saw a coup d'etat against a citizen who was running for president, then a president-elect and a president, and you saw the power of government used against that person, and we don't call that treasonous or seditious, then we're not playing on the same field. We're playing games with each other. We're using words as weapons to attack each other, and we're not getting to the bottom. So my article, In a Word Revolution, is about trying to understand why people are in the streets on both sides. And what I've come down to, my explanation for that, is that it's because people feel they're not being heard. The people who were rioting all summer, they should not have burned buildings. They should not have killed people or injured people or thrown rocks and bottles at cops. They should not have done any of that. They should have taken to the street and let their voices be heard. That's every American's right, right? And we should all support that. They felt aggrieved, and no one would listen, so that's why they did that. Well, the people in the Capitol, not the people who broke in the building, but all the other thousands and thousands of people that were in Washington that day, they weren't there to commit sedition or treason or to kill people. They were there for their voices to be heard. And the problem is that no one has heard their voices on either side of these problems, right? We're not really listening to each other. And is it up to you and me as citizens to listen to each other? Or is it up to the people that can actually make a difference in things to listen, right? The leadership should listen. And you listen by having an investigation into the concerns people have and coming out with a real answer. Okay, so that's kind of where we're at today. This has been a great opening for us today. I'll be back in a minute with more Chasing Justice.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Chasing Justice with me, your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. So one of the things that's on my mind that I'm looking at, I'm saying, you know, what is my responsibility as an American citizen? What is my responsibility? Well, my responsibility is to follow the Constitution, to obey the laws of our nation. Because what are the laws, actually? You know, let's think about this. Now, I've explained this, I think, many times in the past. You know, the laws, just like law enforcement personnel, are not rogue groups of people or things that are imposed upon us. The law, any law that we live by, are created by legislatures, local, state, county, federal legislators, that we, the people, elect. We go to them with a problem. We are concerned about whatever it is, and we want to make sure that we are protected from inappropriate things, like, say, murder. We don't want to be murdered. We don't want to be raped. We don't want our homes broken into and burglarized. So we say, okay, someone does it, and what do we do about it? Well, we create a law that says you can't do that, and there's a penalty if you do. So what we do is the legislature, local, state, county, federal, whatever, makes a law against burglary, murder, rape, robbery, all that kind of stuff. Now there's a law that we all know. We, the people, have demanded that anyone who violates this law is held to account. So what are we supposed to do? Is it the Old West when we find out John over there, John burglarized Mary's house. Let's go get him, right? As a group, we go and enforce the law. No, we don't do that. That's not the appropriate way to handle that. You need an agency, a group of people specially trained that understand the law and can enforce it. This is where our law enforcement personnel come in, right? They are specially trained to enforce the laws that we, the people, have demanded. And we've demanded that these laws be reinforced, right? They are enforced, right? So somebody burglarizes, we want someone to investigate who did it, make an arrest, and hold them to account. And then they go into our court system. So while this is a roundabout way to describe all of this, it's because I'm trying to make the point that as a citizen, our job is to follow that law. This is not something people are imposing on us. This is something we have asked for. We want to live in an orderly society, a society without chaos and rampant crime. We want to live a safe and peaceful life. Everyone deserves to live a safe and peaceful life. So my responsibility in all of that as a citizen is to follow the law, to follow the Constitution, to respect it, to respect the law enforcement officers who enforce it. Now, do I like getting pulled over when I don't have a headlight that works? Right? There was a time in my life when I didn't have a lot of money and my headlight might go out or my taillight might go out. And I had to ride around for a while until I had the $20 to buy the headlight and then have someone put it in. Seems like a simple thing. But when you're a young person, you don't always have that $20. So I would get stopped by an officer who would say, hey, you got a taillight out, you got a headlight out, or whatever. And I would say, yes, I do, officer. And he'd give me a ticket. Now, that ticket might only be another $50, but it's a $50 fine. Now, my $20 headlight, the reason I didn't put it in my car is because I couldn't afford it. Now, I got a $50 ticket, and I still have a headlight that's out. Right? Is that inappropriate? Well, by the letter of the law, it was incorrect. You're not supposed to drive a vehicle around without the headlights and all the lights working. But I had to go to work, so what was I supposed to do? Well, I guess I was supposed to find the $20, borrow it, do something, right? So I could be annoyed that the officer gave me that ticket. But that doesn't mean I get to fight with the officer. I don't get to spit on the officer. I don't get to curse at the officer. I don't get to run the officer over with my car because I got the ticket. I take the ticket to court and I say to the judge, Your Honor, this is the problem. Now the judge can then decide to say, gee, I don't care. You don't have the money. Now you're going to pay the $50 fine plus $30 court costs. Okay, so it's a complicated situation that we live in. There's no doubt about it. Our world is very complicated. But my responsibility as a citizen is to respect law enforcement. So I don't like when I get pulled over. I don't like when an officer gives me a ticket. I don't like when an officer tells me I got to take a different route because they're blocking off a road. But as a citizen who wants to live in a non-chaotic, crazy world, I have to follow the law. If I don't like the law, guess what I do? I find a politician to vote for that says, you know what, we're going to do away with that law that when you get stopped for having a headlight out, you have 60 days to get that headlight fixed with no penalty. Now, that would be my option. Just like if we don't like the way police officers enforce the law that we have on the books now, we don't like the way they investigate homicide, rape, robbery, all these other things, then we change the law. We don't attack the cops for doing their job. Right? So I'm going long and around the route here to try and understand. When we ask what our responsibility is, what is our responsibility when people see the world differently than we do, have a different political point of view? Our country now is so divided, is so split. And it's not just split on ideas, it's split on who we should be, what we should be, how we should move forward. These are times we have never seen in our country. And I hate when people say, it scares me. Because I got to tell you, it doesn't scare me. It upsets me, right? Because I grew up in an America where even though both parties saw the world differently, they were all American, and they all wanted the same freedom and liberty and justice. They just had different ways they wanted to solve our problems. We don't have that in our country now. Our split now is totally different ideology about what's important, what things should we solve. We are having an argument now in America about free speech. Now, no one's coming out and saying, okay, let's bang the gavel and let's have a decision on whether we should limit free speech or whether we should keep it the same or increase free speech. We're not actually having that debate openly. But what we're seeing happen all around us is free speech is being curtailed by the people who have the power and the ability to curtail it. You ask a simple question. Do you have more free speech rights today than you did 10 years ago? Or do you have less? Well, I think, let's see. If you say certain things 10 years ago, people might think you're a jerk, but that would be about it. If you say certain things today, people might think you're a jerk and you'll lose your job. Right? Now there are people calling for re-education camps for the words you use because your thoughts are bad. So no matter how many times we talk about this, the reality is we're moving into a place now where the concept of American re-education camps is even part of the conversation. That's upsetting. Because to what education are they going to re-educate us? To whose point of view? Who says who's right? Well, whoever is in power. And if you're in power, how do you enforce what you say? When do we start to hear the knocks at the door, right? We're hearing people say the children should report. Now, the COVID is a perfect example. Children should report and people should report on their neighbors when their neighbors are having too many people at the house because it's for the good of everyone. So while we all recoiled at the idea of children reporting their parents to the government, in other countries, in other times, we now have people seeing that as a good thing to do here. The children can report on the parents so we'll know what's going on. And neighbors should report on neighbors. Do you see the distrust that doesn't bring any of us together? So do we have more free speech now or less free speech now? Clearly, we have less free speech because you can't say certain words or you will suffer penalties. Not just that people think you're a jerk, but there will be real penalties, and people now want to take your thoughts and couple it with what they believe your thoughts are, and if they think they're negative, they want to punish you. not just not like you or think you're a jerk. They want to physically punish you, remove you from society, remove you from your job, grind it out of you, right? This is a real conversation in America today. We wake up today and tomorrow and the next day, and we're not going closer and closer to more freedom. We're getting closer and closer to less freedom, because there are people among us who think the way we've always done it has been wrong. We need to maybe do it a different way. And I'm trying to ask the question, am I wrong? Is that correct? If people have bad thoughts, should we ban their thoughts? And if they have them, we should punish them for their thoughts? That's kind of where we are now in America. That's a real thing. I never thought I would see it. I never thought I would see this in my life. I didn't grow up thinking that's the America I was in. Those were countries and places that I read about that had thought police, that had people telling on each other. Right? Whatever happened to snitches should get stitches. We don't snitch. No. Now snitching is good. Snitching is a good thing. It's good for everyone if people snitch on each other. Right? Do you not see the encroachment, the slow and steady drip, drip, drip that comes with this kind of thinking? Now, I don't like people that say hateful words. I don't like people that say things that hurt other people's feelings. I don't like it. I try not to do it. I try to never speak and act in a way like that. But you know what? If somebody does it, I think they're a jerk. I don't want them fired. I don't want them put in prison. I just think they're a jerk. And I would hope that they would learn that words can be hurtful. Words can be painful, right? Maybe if we make a nicer society where we teach that not that words should be punished or banned, but that words can hurt, and therefore being kind is probably the better way to go. Understand why words hurt, right? Explain this to our children instead of inculcating our children where they report on their parents and their brothers and sisters, and they report on the neighbors and neighbor reports on each other. Do you realize how chilling of an effect that will have? Because after you report on people, what do you think? They just keep a database of all the people doing the wrong thing? Or do you think they start showing up and knocking on doors at night when they know you're home? Because now maybe you need to come and explain this report. You know, your son told the teacher in school that you think wearing the mask is subversive and you're not going to do it. And we want to know why you think that. Now, that's not a whole other discussion about masks. If the mask prevents the spread of disease, then we should wear the mask. Okay? If it doesn't, we should be told the truth. But again, we will never be told the truth. So these things are real in America today. And they don't scare me. They upset me because I know where they lead, right? Because the follow-up has to be a knock at the door. We know some people who traveled from Florida. Where were they going? Let me see if I can get their itinerary correct. They were out of the country in a place that has COVID, and they came home to Florida, and I think they had to quarantine for 14 days. Then they came to New York, and they had to quarantine in New York for 10 days. I know they ended up in New York and they had to quarantine for another 10 days. Well, in the 10 days that they were quarantined in New York, they had law enforcement officials come to the house, from what I'm told, at least once every day, if not twice every day, to make sure they were home, to make sure they were quarantining like they were supposed to. So these kind of things that I'm talking about, they're not unrealistic. They're real in many other parts of the world, the knock at the door at night. Well, you know what? How long is it until there's a knock at the door here in America? I'm not ready for that. I'm upset by that idea because That's what else are we gonna report on each other for? What else comes next? That, you know what? My father keeps a constitution in the bottom drawer of his dresser, and he reads it every night, and he tells us that we have rights, that the government can't do certain things to us. You think that that's not going to be a problem someday? My father believes in the Second Amendment, that he should be able to keep and bear arms to protect his home and protect from a tyrannical government. Whoa. Do you know that a lot of times at pediatricians' offices, doctors will ask the kids questions about, does anybody at home smoke? Do you have guns in your house at home? Now, we coat all of that kind of reporting in a nice package of, well, we're trying to worry about the health and safety of the children. If they're smoking in the house, we can give the parents some information that smoking is not good and it could damage the children. And if there's guns in the house, we should tell the parents, you know, there's way, make sure their guns are locked up so that they're safe with their children. Oh, those are very good things. Who wouldn't want their guns to be properly secured so children couldn't get them and hurt themselves with them? I would want that to happen. But what's with the reporting? What are we conditioning our children to be little reporters? What happens when they decide that they're done with the First and the Second Amendment, and now they're going to go on to the Fourth Amendment? You know, this whole thing about, you know, search warrants. You know, if somebody has bad thoughts and they've said bad words, they don't deserve to just go about their business. They deserve somebody coming at night and coming in and finding proof that they have those bad thoughts. Maybe the things they've written down. Maybe we get in there and we find that constitution and we find those guns and we remove them from your house because you have bad thoughts. And that Fourth Amendment shouldn't protect a person like you. Now, you think I'm joking? Go back to the First Amendment, free speech. Aren't we hearing that certain words are bad, but depends on who uses certain words? Some people are allowed to use certain words that other people are not allowed to use. So we're already dissecting who gets covered by the right and who doesn't. When we'll look the other way and when we won't. This isn't good for anybody, no matter what side of the aisle you are on. It's not good, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not scared of it. I'm upset by it. Because I have to ask the question, how do I protect my children and my grandchildren from the knock at the door in the middle of the night? How do you protect your family? I'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice, and I hope we're all thinking.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Okay, welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. All right, now listen. The first two segments today were a little deep, I think. They were a little deep, all right, for the afternoon drive time when we're all spending time together here at 3 o'clock every weekday. But I think it's important things for us to think about, because if we just take sides, if we just think of things from our point of view, if we just look at everything based on how it empowers us to do what we think is right or how it empowers someone else, this is where we are coming together in a clash. And this clash cannot last forever. So what I've said so many times is that I don't condone the violence at the Capitol. In fact, I'm against the violence at the Capitol. I think it was terrible and horrible, and those who did it should be held to account. What I am trying to say is that the reason people are in the streets all summer, I'm against the violence that they did and the burning and the looting and the destroying and the killing. I'm against that. But the fact is, they have something to say and nobody's listening. Well, all those people that were in Washington had something to say and nobody's listening. And that is what leads to revolution. I'm not calling for revolution. I'm saying let's open our eyeballs and see, where does revolution come from? Do people just rise up one day and decide they're going to try and overthrow their government, that they're going to pledge their lives, their fortunes, their honor to overthrow what's going on and make something new? No. And for those who don't understand that reference, that's what our forefathers did. They pledged their fortunes, their honors, their very lives to the idea of overthrowing the king and living for freedom and starting their own country. Well, there comes a point that people do that throughout history. People will do that. And when what are the precursors? What can you see? So right now we have nobody asking, why are people so upset? We just have each side pointing fingers at the other. All right? The problem comes in. Here's the problem, the crux of the problem. I might sound like I'm middle of the roading this, and I'm comparing the two different kinds of upsetness together and saying that they're equal. The difference is that we have to be willing to be brave enough to go all the way with our analysis of the situation. So when people are upset and they're in the streets, we have to listen to what they're saying, but then we have to investigate what they're saying, and then we all have to be willing to hear the truth about what they're saying. What is the truth? Is it really what people are in the streets complaining about? Is that really the truth? Then we have to do something about it. If it's not the truth, we have to be willing to tell the truth, and then people have to accept that truth if there's ever to be peace. Just like the people in Washington, not the people who stormed the Capitol, but the people who were there because they feel their vote was stolen from them, they feel that it was fraudulent, that they were disenfranchised. Isn't that something we all worry about? That's all we ever hear at every election. Why can't you have ID for voters? Because you'll disenfranchise people, because people can't get ID. People are too stupid to get ID. People live too far away. They're too poor to get ID. We hear a million different reasons why we can't have voter ID. Because it'll disenfranchise people. Okay? Is that true or not? If it's true, if having a voter ID will disenfranchise people and they will not be able to vote, then I would say we shouldn't have voter ID, because I don't want to disenfranchise anyone. Everyone should have a vote. But if we investigate it and it turns out that, gee, getting voter ID is not really as hard as people think. I mean, people have checking accounts, they have bank accounts, they have driver's licenses, they have Social Security cards, they have health insurance cards. They got all kinds of cards and ID, right? And saying that people are too stupid to get a voter ID card is insulting. To say that poor people can't get a voter ID card, that's insulting. The thing is when people are out in the streets and they're upset, there's two parts to that story. One, we have to listen to their grievance. Then we have to do an investigation about it. And the results have got to come back. And we all need to be open to the truth. So that's what I'm saying. If the people in Washington, and millions more people across the country, who believe that they were disenfranchised by the evidence that they've seen, that all those in power ignored, that's why people were angry. All we had to do was do a real investigation with real investigators to come back and say, you know what, we looked into this, and while it looked like fraud, there really was no fraud. We checked all those machines and they couldn't be changed. We looked at all those votes and they were genuine, real votes sent out by people. There was no voter fraud, ladies and gentlemen. People just made a different decision in this election. If we did that, then people wouldn't have to take to the streets, because number one, they would have been heard, and number two, somebody would have looked at it legitimately and given an answer. Just like the riots in the summer. People feel aggrieved. They feel no one's listening to them. Well, we all need to listen, but we need to investigate. But when the truth comes out, everyone needs to accept the truth, no matter what that truth is. So that's my point. That's the point of my article. In a word, revolution is not calling for revolution. It's trying to understand, where does revolution come from? Revolution comes from people who are fed up, who are disenfranchised, who feel alone, who feel they have no one they can turn to for their grievances. They have no one they can turn to but themselves and people who think like they do. That is where revolution comes from, all across the world, all throughout humanity. Right? So it behooves us to vote for people that are going to listen, that are going to be accountable to us. I ended up going deep again, didn't I? I said round three we weren't going to go so deep, and we ended up going deep anyway. So I just can't help it. These are big, big things we all need to look at. You know, we're going to go to the polls in 2022. Half of this country is going to be outraged about what's coming next, about the changes in the policies and the procedures and how things are going to happen. Let's just look at a couple of them that are in the news right now. Apparently, there is a 1,000-person caravan coming up from Guatemala that are expecting to cross the border into the United States without going through the process of migrating. They're just going to walk across the border, and they're going to expect it to be taken care of, welcomed here, and let to live in America and start a new life, and whatever benefits we have, they're going to get. Who decides that they can just walk across the border because we're here and come in? Right? Is that the law? Is that the rule? But you know what? The people that are in charge now, they're okay with it. They don't care that the law says that's not how you can do it. They're going to change the law. The taxes are going to go up. We talked about this a couple times. Mr. Biden says no one who makes less than $400,000 will see an increase in their taxes. Does anybody believe that? I don't. I don't believe it, because it's never true, no matter which politician says it to you on whichever side of the aisle. The money, the real money in this country, is not the super rich. You could take away all of their money, every penny of the 1%. You could take it all away and run the country for a couple of months. The real money in this country comes from the middle class. The middle class has all the money. So when you want to raise taxes, you could start with the rich and take a bunch from them. But eventually, the money that they need, you know, all these trillions and trillions of dollars we've been, you know, doing in these stimulus packages, where does that money come from? They just write a check? The government just sends you a check with zeros on it, you put it in your bank, and now you can use it, right? They didn't hand you the bills. They sent you a check, and now you can go buy more stuff with your Mac card. That's real money. That somebody owes that money. The government owns that. You know who owes it? We owe it. Our children owe it. Our great-grandchildren will owe it. And we're not done yet. We're gonna do another $1.9 trillion, Mr. Biden wants to do. Okay? So the reality is, all of these changes are going to come. And in the year 2022, there'll be an election cycle. And I'm going to say that 95% of our country is going to go out and vote for the exact same politicians. You know, the ones that won't vote for term limits. You know how you make term limits happen? Your primary, so say you're a Democrat and you only want Democrats, but you're sick of the politicians being entrenched for 50 years and you can't get rid of them. Well, you know what? Run a primary and vote for the Democrat against the politician that's been there for 40 years. That's how you get term limits. You're a Republican and you're sick of these whiny, rhino, weak, spineless Republicans that don't stand up and fight for what you believe in. Well, you know what you do? You primary them and you vote them out. That's your term limit. But the reality is, history has told us over and over and over again, 95% of us are going to go out and vote for our guy and our girl, because we like them. The rest of them are all bad. So Congress may have a continual, you know, 8% approval rating, 8%. But we're going to go out and vote for them, and they'll be the same Congress the day after the 2022 election as they are today. Nothing will change. Whose fault is that? the politicians who don't want to give up their cushy life and who don't want to give up their great lifestyle and what they're doing. No, they got something. Why would they want to give it up? That's why there'll never be term limits. Right? They're never going to vote for term limits. We have to vote for term limits. Go out and primary everybody you don't like and get rid of them that way. There's your term limit. You know what, Mr. 14 cycle congressman? You've been there 28 years? I don't care who's running against you in the same party. I'm voting for that person. And you're out. That's how you do this. You know, because waiting around for them to do term limits to vote themselves out of power is never, ever going to happen. We have to take responsibility as citizens. So that's where I started out this question, didn't I? What is my responsibility? My responsibility is to look at the bigger picture and figure out a way to make this work by and for the people. Well, I am the people. You are the people. We don't like these politicians. They won't respond to us. They won't listen to us. They won't do what's right. Vote them out. That's the answer, right? So that's what we certainly can do. Because we do have things coming up the pike. And I'm wondering how things are going to go. You know, just glancing through the news. Apparently, somebody in the Biden administration or the upcoming administration got word down to this caravan of people that are coming and saying, whoa, 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 slow down a little bit. You're probably not going to be able to come in immediately. You're probably going to have to wait on the other side of the border for a little bit. Where'd that come from? You know, okay, that's good. That sounds like a smart thing to do. We can't just allow thousands of people to come pouring across the border. There's a system in place. Other people are in line. Other people have been waiting to do it legally. You got to do it legally, right? If you allow people to do it illegally, there's a motive. We the people have to figure out what would that motive be and then be honest about it. If we think it's good, then we should change the law. We shouldn't have a law that we're going to purposely violate because we think it's good to do it the opposite way. That's stupid. That doesn't make any sense, right? So that's something we need to look at. The taxes, I don't know how we're going to get around that. Regulation, you know, I think shutting off the gasoline pipelines, you know, that they're creating and drilling in all these places, they're going to end all of that. They're going to stop fracking wherever they can, which means your gas price is going to go back to $4 or $5 a gallon. I certainly hope not. I hope gas stays in the $2 range. That makes life easy for us to do, for our businesses to work, for all of that. But does anybody believe that if you cut off all of the energy that America has been creating, the fracking and the natural gas and the drilling and the pipelines and all that, does anybody believe the gas is going to stay there? It's already starting to creep up. Right? Gas is going to go back to $4 and $5 a gallon before you know it, even higher, if we shut off those pipelines. But apparently, that's what we voted for. We voted that we want that. So you're going to get what you vote for. There's an old saying, you get the government you deserve. Well, if this election was legitimate and the majority of our people and states voted for this kind of stuff, this is what we're going to get. And whose fault is that? Well, it comes to fault of the people who voted for this. Right? So in the next election, we got to vote differently, right? So what else is going on out there? Let's see. Oh, it's funny. Remember in the summertime when the President Trump wanted to bring the National Guard to these cities that were burning and it was crazy looting and people were getting hurt and the National Guard was considered the devil. They were horrible. But now Nancy Pelosi has thousands and thousands of National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. Isn't it funny? When she feels endangered, the National Guard is great. Do you notice they put a gigantic wall around the Congress? Funny how walls don't work until you need a wall, and then suddenly the wall is a great idea. So the hypocrisy of our politicians is on display. And I listen to so many shows on America Out Loud. They're all excellent, so stay on the dial. Just stay on the dial and listen all day long. You become educated. You'll have fun. It's great. One of the hosts was saying that, you know, the hypocrisy that is on display is shocking to the senses. And it is. It's shocking how one day you say one thing because it's your thing, and the next day you're against it because somebody else brings it up on the other side. We see that so much, and I wrote about this. This is on the AmericaOutloud.com platform, is that hypocrisy no longer has a negative connotation. Hypocrisy has a value now. You know, matter of fact, people that are very hypocritical, if it serves their purpose, people will applaud them and say, oh man, you did that. You were so slick. How the last time you were against this and this time you're for it. Like all of the argument that securing our border was hateful and horrifying and it was racist and all, and they fought tooth and nail that they weren't going to have a wall. But there's a problem at the Capitol, and now there's a wall around the Capitol. There's a fence all the way around. Why put up a fence? Fences don't work. Fences are no good. You're keeping the American people out of their own property. That's hateful, right? That's hypocritical. But we all know the reality is fences do work. That's why countries put them up all over the world. Because you want to regulate who comes and goes. Not that you hate people. You got to regulate who comes and goes from your property, who comes in and out of your country. You don't want people bringing in drugs and human traffickers bringing people across the border. You don't want to do that. But in the way, around Congress, they put up a wall when they were afraid. Because walls work then, but they didn't work when you want to do them, right? This is hypocritical. Hypocrisy is on display. We can all see it. We all have lots and lots of choices to make. So keep your eyes open. Our changes are coming. They're coming very fast. By the next time we get together, the changes will have already begun. So remember, be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Pray for your country. We need God now more than we ever have. I want all of us to get along. I want to heal all the wounds in our country. We should hear each other, and we should act where it's appropriate to do the right thing, no matter who's making the complaint. Peace and truth and justice are for all of us. We just have to decide on what those things mean. This is Lieutenant Joe, signing off for this episode of Chasing Justice. Until we meet again, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.